Okay. Well, you know, there's lots of things that you can preach when you've been doing it as long as I have, when you go to a place, but I never just go to my little message drawer and pull out a message and come and show up and speak it. A lot of times I'll put together things that are new, and a few weeks ago, actually, I've had this message a couple of months and just waiting for the right place to preach it, just about the importance of staying strong. Just staying strong. And I want to make a statement here in the beginning, and I hope this will mean something to you. Most people don't do their maintenance, and they end up being controlled by emergencies. Just think about that. They don't do their maintenance, so they end up being controlled by emergencies. I'll give you a little example about my dentist. How many of you really aren't real crazy about going to the dentist and just getting your teeth cleaned or just getting a checkup? You know? So you just wait until you have a bad toothache and then you have to go. Okay? Well, I was like that. I remember many years ago when we were first starting the ministry, and I was so busy and just had so much going on, and I never wanted to go to the dentist to get any kind of checkups. And I had some different issues with my teeth, and so I was somebody who needed to go, and I get a lot of plaque buildup on my teeth, so I need to go and get that taken care of, but I didn't want to go. So then I'd get a bad toothache, and maybe I'd be going out of town on a conference, and I'd call my dentist, and I had an emergency. Is there any way you can work me in? So my poor planning ended up pressuring him. Come on now. Our poor planning can end up pressuring somebody else who then we put in a position of having to take care of our emergency because we didn't do what we should have done to start with. And to be honest, that's really not walking in love. And so that happened about three times, and then my dentist just said to me, the last time I went in for an emergency, he said, I don't want to be rude to you, but he said, if you're not going to get your checkups and get your teeth cleaned, then I'm just going to have to ask you not to call me when you have an emergency. And so, don't want to stretch that story too far, but I don't think it would be out of line to say that maybe God is wanting to say that to some of us today. Now, I'm not saying God won't help us when we have an emergency, but sometimes we do have to learn things the hard way if we won't learn them the easy way. And so if there's things that God is telling you to do, telling you to do, telling you to do, showing you to do, showing you to do, and you keep just not doing it, not doing it, not doing it, then maybe when we have an emergency, God might have to just say, well, not this time. You need to learn a little something. People don't like to do maintenance on their car. They don't like to do maintenance on their, who wants to change the filter on your air conditioning? You'd rather sit on the back porch and have an iced tea. I mean, who in the world wants to go get a colonoscopy just to make sure that later on you don't have a problem? Nobody wants to do that, you know? I'm going to tell you something that I have not thought of for a long time, but maybe this will help you. You know, 28, 29 years ago, it's been so long, and I forget when it was, I had breast cancer, and I ended up having to have a mastectomy on one side. And 3 years before that, I had gone to the doctor for a mammogram, which nobody likes that either. And they said they saw a little something on the test. They weren't sure what it was, but they highly recommended that I come back in 3 months and get it checked again. I didn't want to do that. I'm busy serving God. I'm busy in ministry. So, you know what we do a lot of times is, I'll just trust God to take care of that. Well, can I tell you something? Sometimes that's just an excuse. It has really nothing to do with real faith. It's not even anything God's really put in our heart. It's just an excuse we use to not have to deal with something. So I didn't do what the doctor told me to do. I waited 3 years And when I went back, I had breast cancer. Now, I tell you that because I believe that God not only uses miracles to heal us, but I think he also uses wisdom and common sense. I don't know, Lisa, it may be quiet in here today. It just might be quiet today. I'm dealing with something right now with my back. Got some arthritis in each one of my discs, they said. One of them is a bulging disc, and so we're dealing with that. But in the process of looking at my spine, I went to a doctor that does a lot of preventative care also. And he said, well, even if we take care of this immediate problem, he said, I'm going to highly recommend that you do some certain treatments and do some certain physical therapy that will keep you from having a problem later on. Well, I don't want to do that. First of all, these treatments, I think, might be a little painful, and I'm not looking forward to that. And I already exercise and work out and walk, and I don't want to now add physical therapy to it, and I'm busy, and I'm serving God. But I do believe that a lot of times God will put some information in front of us. Now, come on, listen to me. I believe God will put some information in front of us that if we will do the maintenance now. See, one of my great dreams is to finish my race. I don't even know how to tell you how important that is to me. This has been a long journey for me, and I've been teaching the Word 42 years, and I really hope and pray, it is a great desire of mine, that I can still be sharing the Word in some form or fashion right until God is finished with me and he takes me home. Well, you see, I know that in order to do that, I got to do a whole bunch of stuff behind the scenes to stay strong. It takes my time. It takes effort. Sometimes it takes money. Sometimes it's inconvenient. But you see, we're very bad at wanting something over here on this end, but not wanting to do what it takes to get it. Let me ask a question. Are you a gambler or an investor? You know what a person who kind of has a gambling spirit does? And I'm not even necessarily talking about the casino type thing. I'm talking about you kind of just don't do the right thing and kind of sort of hope you get by with it. But the Bible says that we reap what we sow. And so I think that we need to start doing a whole lot more maintenance. And instead of just waiting until we have a major disaster in life and trying to quick get strong, let's talk this morning about staying strong. Let's talk about doing what we need to do when there is no emergency, but it's just wisdom to do it. And then you know what? We're going to have a lot less emergencies. And to be honest with you, it's going to be a lot less painful. And in the long run, it's going to take a lot less time to deal with things a little bit at a time than it will. You know, I didn't take care of my teeth for a long time. Part of it was we didn't have the money, but then part of it was I just didn't want to. And I'll just be honest and tell you, I have 6 teeth in my whole mouth that don't have crowns on them. So do what you need to do when you need to do it. And even now, I'm one of those kind of people that get a lot of plaque on my teeth. They want me to come get my teeth cleaned every 4 months. I don't want to get my teeth cleaned every 4 months. I mean, I'd be happy to go once every 2 or 3 years. But here's the thing. If I wait even 7 or 8 months when I go to get my teeth cleaned, it really hurts because they have to really dig around to get the plaque off. If I go every 4 months, it doesn't hurt at all. Come on, how many of you are understanding what I'm saying today? You say, well, this is sure a lot of practical stuff. I came to get a word from God, and you're talking to me about my teeth and a colonoscopy. And you know what? That's what's wrong today. Sometimes we go to church, and everything is just so spiritual that we go out, and we don't know how to live practical everyday life. Amen. Oh, the service today was so... It was wow. Well, what'd you learn? I don't know, but man, I had a lot of goosebumps. It was great. Wow, staying strong. All right, Proverbs 18:14. Great scripture. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain and trouble. But a weak and a broken spirit, who can raise it up or who can bear it? If we stay strong spiritually, then really no matter what comes against us, we will make it through. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean there's going to be no pain involved. But truly, truly, we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. Yes, you can make it through whatever you're going through right now. And you know what? You can get so strong in spirit that you can be going through really, really difficult things. And while you are, you're still reaching out and helping other people, and they don't even know what you're going through. Did you hear me? We don't have to be the kind of people that every time we have a problem, we fall apart. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But it's going to take some maintenance, some regular doing of what we should be doing, not just waiting until all of a sudden we feel like we're falling apart and quick trying to get to where we need to be. Ephesians chapter 6 is a chapter in the Bible about how to defeat the devil. And we all love those kinds of messages. Everybody likes to think that they've got the power and they can defeat the enemy. And in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, it teaches us about putting on the full armor of God and putting on peace and, you know, all the different facets of armor that we can put on, which causes us to be victorious against the enemy. But verse 10 is one that we might not pay as much attention to as we should, and that precedes all the others, and it simply says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong to your union or your oneness or your fellowship with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. So the first thing to realize today before we go even further is whatever strength you hope to have in life, it's got to be in God. He is our strength. He doesn't just give us strength, He is our strength. And the minute that you have any sign of difficulty, even before you have difficulty, every day pray early, God, give me the strength today to deal with whatever I need to deal with, because I believe that I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And I like what the Amplified Bible says about that scripture. It says, I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Let's be the kind of people that are ready for anything. We don't even know what it is yet, but we're ready for whatever comes our way, and we already know we're going to have the victory before we ever have the problem. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I believe that's what it means. That you are so convinced in spirit of who you are in Christ that you already know you're going to win the battle before the battle ever even comes your way. See, not one of us in this building today knows exactly what our future holds. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow. We trust God, but we don't know. We don't know what we may be called upon to endure or to go through. And we need to be strong-minded. We need to be strong mentally. We need to be strong in God. We need to stay strong in spirit, because the world needs to see a body of people that are stable, that are not just up and down and all over the place depending on what their circumstances are. They need to see a smile on our face when we've got the same kind of problems that they have. God doesn't guarantee us faith in God, relationship with God, doesn't guarantee us that we're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that we're not going to deal with some of the same things that other people deal with, but it does mean that there is a place in him. Paul said it was his determined purpose to know him and the power of his resurrection that lifted him out from among the dead even while he was in the body. He didn't say, I'm believing to never have a problem. He said, I'm believing that when I have problems, I can rise above it. You know, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of things, and the whole time he did, he still ministered to other people. Amen. David went through a time, which if we think about this for a minute, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm not going to turn there. I'll just tell you the story. But David and his men, I guess, had been off to some kind of battle, and they came home to Ziklag. And you know, when you've already been in a battle and you come home, you don't want to come home to some big disappointment. I mean, even at the end of a day's work, you don't want to come home to some big disappointment. You want to come home and rest and relax. So they'd been fighting a battle, and they came home, and they found out that their enemies, the Amalekites, had raided their city and burned the whole thing with fire and had taken the women and the children captive. And David even found out that his own wife had been taken captive. And so not only did they have this disappointment to deal with, the loss of their family, the loss of their city, but now all the men turned against David. They blamed him because their families had been killed. And I love what the Bible says in verse 6. Just think about what David was going through at this point. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. And David, what did David do? David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The minute that we have problems, we don't need to go to the phone. We need to go to the throne. Whatever you need to do, whatever you're facing right now, and some of you are going through some really difficult things, whatever it is that you're facing right now, I want to tell you, you can do it. You have got what it takes. Come on, you have got what it takes. I said, you can do it. You have got what it takes. Come on, we got to get rid of this weak, wimpy, pitiful, pathetic, it's too much for me kind of attitude. God is on your side. You are more than a conqueror. You are a warrior. You have authority over the enemy. And I'm telling you that you can do whatever you need to do through Christ, who is your strength. The moment, and I have to practice this, the moment that you hear any kind of, I can't. The mind is the battlefield. Satan puts thoughts in our mind, and if he can get us to believe them, then we're already on our way out. I can't. The minute you hear that, you need to open your mouth and say, I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who is my strength. You know, there's something that nobody can do for you but you, and that's refuse to give up. God can't do that for you. Your pastor can't do that for you. Your friends can't do that for you. Only you can find that place in you that says, I'm not quitting and I'm not giving up. I don't care how many times I have to keep doing what's right until I get a result, I am not going to stop doing what's right. I say sometimes you may have to treat somebody right for a long time that's not treating you right before you see a change in them. But don't give up. Don't we all love Isaiah 40, 29 through 31? He gives power to the faint and the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases his strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even young men shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord. See, you love that scripture. What are you doing here today? You've taken time out of your weekend to come and wait on the Lord. You're just, you being here is saying, God, I need you. I don't want to face next week without you. I hope you're not here today just to put in your weekly time with God, but you came because you wanted to be strong in spirit. You wanted to hear the word. You wanted to be in this corporate fellowship. I don't know if you have any idea how blessed you are just to be able to come to a place like this and just sit here. Just sit here. I told some of the people with me this morning, you know, being able to come and just sit in a church service like I did this morning is something I don't get to do very often, because usually I'm not just doing the teaching, I'm running the whole service. And so it's a different kind of a situation when you're doing that, because you're thinking, you're praying, you're preparing, you're planning. And I so enjoyed just being here this morning. See, you don't realize maybe how blessed you are. It doesn't matter whether you think you got a word from God or not. Just be blessed to just be here and just soak up God's anointing and soak up His presence. You know why? It's making you strong for the things that are ahead. You never waste your time in the house of God. You never waste your time when you hear the word. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Amen. This is a real thing. And then the Bible even says in Isaiah 41 that when you're going through terrible things, you don't have to fear, because I'm with you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, there's nothing to fear. I'm with you. Don't look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. And even an extra promise, I will harden you to difficulties. In other words, every time you go through something, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Come on. How many times have we said, well, God, this is just going to kill me. I just can't do this, God. And yet you're still here. And you know what? You're stronger than you were before. I want to pray something over you today, and I just want you to receive it. This is something I think that we could and should do on a regular basis, and I like to pray this over people when they're in a service like this. Ephesians 3:16, Paul prayed this for the church at Ephesus. So receive this. I pray that God would grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. I pray the Holy Spirit would indwell your innermost being and your personality, and that you would be strong in the Lord and able to face anything you have to face and still be victorious. In Jesus' name. How do we stay strong in spirit? Well, first of all, the Word of God is the food you need for your spirit, just like I'm thirsty, so I had a drink of water. Well, you know what? Jesus said, I'm the living drink. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst. He said, I'm your living food. If you take me as your food, you'll never hunger. Always respect the Word of God, and when you hear the Word of God, the words going forth out of my mouth right now, they're not just words, they're God's words. And so that means there's power. The Bible says there's inherent power in the Word of God. So just like when you eat food and you chew it and you swallow it, the nutrition is released. If you really listen, you don't just put your time in church to think that you've made God happy because you showed up for 45 minutes, but you come with an attitude of, your word is powerful. Your presence is powerful. This is helping me. This is strengthening me. This is healing me. This is making a difference in my life. See, everything that you get in a church service is not up to the preacher. A lot of it is up to the attitude that you come in with. You need to come hungry. You need to come excited. You need to come and realize what a precious treasure it is to sit around other believers that have an anointing on their life and to hear the word of God. Come on, let's thank God for what he's done in our life. This is a good place to be. So the word strengthens us in spirit. God's presence. You know something that you could do? I do this from time to time. How many of you can kind of tell when you're starting to run on empty? I mean, your system is just kind of like, you're running on empty. Well, you know what? Instead of just continuing to push yourself and getting cranky and grouchy and blaming everybody around you, and, you know, it can just go from bad to worse. That is, you know that, don't you? It can just, if it's already bad, it's going to get worse if you don't do something about it. Well, I don't care if you just have to go lock yourself in the bathroom. Just go and sit somewhere or stand somewhere. It even just take 3 minutes and just, God, I need you. Strengthen me, Lord. Help me just calm down. Okay, feeling better now. Come on, do you understand that? I mean, that's just good, practical advice. Just get somewhere by yourself, zip your lip. You know, when you're frustrated, the more you talk, the worse it's going to get. Just get somewhere for a minute, get quiet, calm down, collect yourself, get yourself together. As we tell other people, you just need to go somewhere and get yourself together. God's presence. Prayer, but I want to talk to you specifically about, yes, we need to pray about everything. Don't do anything until you at least mention it to God first, but repentance. You know, one of the things that keeps us weak in spirit is hidden sin. Stuff that we know is there and God knows is there, but we're just not talking about it. We're just not dealing with it. David prayed that God would clear him from hidden and unconscious faults. Things that were there that he had managed to ignore long enough that although he was still feeling the weight of them, do you know that we can compromise to the point where we have major sin in our life and we don't even really know what it is that's bothering us anymore? And you know, sometimes if you're just not feeling right in your life, you just, something's wrong, I've got a heaviness, I don't know, there's no joy. Why don't you just go and get by yourself somewhere and just ask God a question that he's just waiting to answer. And here's the question, God, what is really wrong in my life? Come on. Not like, he may not tell you it's your circumstances. See, we always think every time we're unhappy, it's our circumstances. But a lot of times, it's our attitude. Or it's something going on in us, or something that we need to take care of that we've not taken care of. I recall a time when I wasn't sleeping good. It was one night I wasn't sleeping good. I tossed and turned, and I'd sleep for a few minutes, and I'd wake up, and it got to be about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I really wish that I would have asked God sooner so I could have gotten some sleep. But I waited till 5, and I finally just said, God, what is wrong? Come on, that's a good question to ask God. What is wrong? And immediately he showed me something that I had done the day before. I had hurt somebody's feelings and just glossed over it, didn't do what I should have done, didn't take care of it, didn't ask God to forgive me, didn't ask them to forgive me, and I repented immediately, made a commitment to make things right with them the next day, and it was almost time to get up anyway, but I did get about 30 minutes sleep. Come on, God, what is wrong? Come on, this is good advice. What's wrong? What's going on? We run so fast in life that many times we're just dragging all these problems along with us, and we don't even take the time to stop and ask God what's really going on. How about guilt? Don't be carrying a bunch of guilt around with you. Man, that weakens us. Whew. It's hard to stay strong in God if you got a guilty conscience and a bunch of stuff that's bugging you inside. How about knowing who you are in Christ? Boy, I tell you, the devil gets afraid of you when you know who you are in Christ. Peter talked about it this morning. That was great what he shared. Who are you? Do you know who you are? If you know who you are, and the devil knows you know who you are, then he's going to be running from you instead of you running from him. But you know what? Maintaining a righteousness consciousness in your life, it takes hugging up close to God and staying in the Word. Because if there's anything the enemy wants to do to you, he wants to make you feel guilty and condemned and like you're no good. You guys out there? Am I right? How many of you have to fight that battle? It's like, well, you didn't this, and you didn't that, and you're not, and you're not. Do you ever get tired of the devil telling you what you're not? Then get in the Word and let God tell you who you are. And then another thing that really weakens people is anger. Wow. Fight for yourself and refuse to let anger steal the spiritual strength that you need to deal with things in your life. I'm telling you, staying angry at people will just zap it right out of you. And then one last thing I'll say about this section is, let's all work together and just see how many issues we can have in our life and still hold our peace while we got them. That's a new goal. I told Dave today, I said, okay, I've got a new goal. I really love peace, and I do pretty good most of the time, but lately I've just let a few stupid things aggravate me. Anybody ever do that? You just let some really dumb stuff just get you all rattled, and it's not anything that's going to be earth-shaking. Doesn't really matter that much. And I had about three or four of those things last week. It was just like silly stuff, and I just let it. And you know what I've discovered? Once you get really upset, you're not going to get over it in 5 seconds. When you get really upset, at least when I do, it takes a toll on me, and sometimes it takes a while for me to calm down. So it's just a lot less effort to just not get upset. Come on, I'm telling you something valuable. It takes a lot less effort to just not get upset than it does to get upset, act bad, have to repent, the devil condemns you, you know, all that stuff. Then you got to go apologize to 5 or 6 people. It's like, God, no, I don't want to do that anymore. My new goal is just do your best, devil, but I'm holding my peace. All right, I probably got too much message and not enough time, but all right, now, you know a time that we really need to be strong is when people come against us or when they disappoint us. What about when people really, really, really disappoint you? Okay, listen to this. 2 Timothy 4:16. Paul said, at my first trial, nobody acted in my defense. Nobody took my part. Nobody stood with me, but all, underline all, forsook me. What kind of spiritual strength did this man have? Look at the next statement. May it not be charged against them. You know what? He was a smart man. He knew that if he didn't forgive them, if he let that anger stay in him, if he stayed mad at them, that he was not going to be able to go through what he was facing right now. So even though not one of them stood with him, the first thing he said is, I pray that it won't be charged against them. And look at the next thing that happens. But the Lord stood by me. And the Lord strengthened me, so that through me the gospel message might be fully preached. Nobody stood with me. Everybody came against me. I quickly forgave them, and God was with me, and he strengthened me, and I still came out victorious on the other side. Do any of you have anybody in your life right now that's coming against you? How about anybody? You got somebody in your life that, boy, you've been there for them, and now there's a situation and they just didn't have time for you. They didn't stand by you. You know what? don't even waste your time letting it drain you of the energy that you need to live your life. Forgive them. Well, you didn't take that too well. Don't waste your time letting them steal your energy. Quickly forgive them, and then you know what will happen? God will be more to you in 1 second than all of them could have been in a lifetime. Think strong. Be strong. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Where your mind goes, your actions will follow. Think strong. Think, I can do it. Think, this is not too much for me. I can do what I need to do. I'm not going to be afraid of that. My mother, you know, my dad sexually abused me for a lot of years. My mother knew about it, didn't do anything about it. And I still marvel about that. It may sound ridiculous, but I can almost understand what he did more than I can what she did. Like, I can't get a mother knowing that and doing nothing. But I don't say that as a bitterness statement, or, I mean, bottom line is she did it because she was weak. She just was weak. She was not. She didn't confront things in life. She didn't stand up to things. She let my dad abuse her and beat on her, and he'd come in drunk and push her around, and she just put up with it. And 30 years after all this happened, and I was already grown and in ministry, and this is what my mother said to me. She said, I'm sorry for what I let your father do to you. Now listen, because this was eye-opening to me. She said, I didn't leave him because I didn't think that I could support you and your brother, and I didn't think that I could face the scandal. She didn't think she could, so she didn't. Come on. Can I tell you something? If you don't think you can, you're defeated before you ever get started. And I'll be honest with you, if you didn't come to hear anything but that one thing can be life-changing for you. You have no idea how many times in 1 week the enemy will whisper to me, you can't. And I have to quickly say, I can. And I will. Not on my own, but in Christ. I can and I will. I can do all things through Christ who is. Come on, don't be weak-willed. Don't be weak-minded. Don't be weak in spirit. It just makes me just want to scream when I think about what my mother put up with. And she believed in Jesus. I mean, she could have, my gosh, if she would have just stood up to him, not only would it have helped me, it would have helped my brother, it would have helped her, but actually it would have ended up helping my dad. See, sometimes when you don't stand up to people that are abusing you or mistreating you, you're not helping them, you're just inviting them to keep doing the same thing. Think strong. I can. You know, there'd be no point in me standing here today trying to tell you what it took for me to get from where I was to where I am. No, but you couldn't understand it if I tried to take 100 years to tell you. But when I started doing what I'm doing, women didn't do this. And I don't mean this in any kind of a wrong or a prideful way, but I think God has used me. And God's given me a gift of determination. I mean, I wouldn't have made it through what I went through as a child if I wouldn't have had that. And so I give him the credit for it. But if I wouldn't have had that, I mean, I would have been defeated before I ever got started. And I think that God has allowed me to kind of pave the way for a lot of other women now that can come behind. And things are easy for them because somebody went ahead. And you know what? Now listen to me. Every time that you fight for a victory in your life, you're not just winning a battle for you. You're winning a battle for other people that are going to come behind. You know, I just feel it strong in my spirit today. That this is just a word from God for some of you. It's just like, get over thinking you're going to give up. You are not going to give up. God is on your side. You're going to go through, be all God wants you to be, have all that God wants you to have, and do all that God wants you to do. Amen? And we're not going to live on emergencies. We're going to do what we need to do every day of our life. I'm going to study the Word, and I'm going to study it again and again and again and again and again and again. And I'm going to confess the Word again and again and again and again. And I'm going to spend time with God every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to give up. Amen. Let me end with one little story here. I can't believe the time is over, but it is. Let me just end with one little quick story. This amazes me. Jeremiah was a great prophet, and he had a secretary, Baruch, who recorded all of his prophecies. And, you know, they didn't have a nice little ballpoint pen that they could just flick the end and nice little pad of paper. I mean, recording anything was a monumental job. They had to get the ink, they had to get the quill, they had to get the parchment. It just took a long, 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 long time. And there's actually an account in the Bible of where Jeremiah had gotten this prophecy from God, and it was read to the king, and the king didn't like it, and so he ripped it up. Just ripped up Jeremiah's prophecies. And this is like in Jeremiah 36. Can you imagine how he felt when all of his work was just ripped up? I know one time before I learned the wisdom of never leaving anything on a computer without saving it on another file, I lost one half of a book that I had written and never could get it back. I won't go into the long and the short of, I was so just like sick, just absolutely sick. I mean, my gosh, it takes so long to write that much. Because I didn't do my maintenance. Come on, are you there? I didn't want to take the time to go get the little thing, to stick it in the side of the computer, to, you know. And I paid the price. Well, I don't do that anymore. You know what? I had to do it again. I had to do it again. So, here, this amazes me. Can you imagine how Jeremiah must have felt when he learned that all of his hard work had been burned up? This king, I guess, was sitting by the fire having a nice little comfy evening, and he just ripped up all, threw them in the fire, piece by piece. This is what God told Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were on the first scroll. And God basically said to Jeremiah, what I'm saying to you today, I don't care how many times you've done it or how often you think it hasn't worked or what the devil's taken away from you, here's the answer to all your problems. Do it again. I'm going to do it again, devil, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And you are not going to defeat me. Amen.